WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. Ben Harper is a well-traveled musician who's toured across the globe, and his new release features song titles that sound like a dream itinerary. The new album opens with a track called Istanbul, followed by Manhattan, Joshua Tree. Hey, even Islip Long Island gets a shout-out. Each name for a different place that provided inspiration. Add to this another layer. All 15 tracks on his upcoming 15th album, Winter Is for Lovers, are stripped down instrumentals, as in Ben playing only a lap steel guitar, no vocals. And while it's a change of pace, it's not his first foray into instrumental music. He won the Grammy in 2005 for Best Pop Instrumental Performance for the song 11th Commandment, as well as winning Grammys in the gospel category and blues categories. He continues to showcase his wide range on Winter Is for Lovers. Here's the first single, Inland Empire. Winter Is for Lovers comes out this Friday, and Ben Harper joins us now for a preview. Ben, welcome to All of It.
Thank you, Allison. Thanks for having me.
So each of the tracks on the album is named after a place, as I mentioned, Istanbul, Verona, all places where songs were written or inspired by. So Ben, what does that process look like? Say you're in Istanbul, are you having tea and you see something and you need to write it down? Or what does that process look like when you're on the road?
When you're writing just with music, you got to hum it into something or just remember that it's there and hopefully it makes it back with you to the hotel.
Really? Do you take out your iPhone and hum it in or do you jot it down?
Yeah. And I've taken to humming into my devices under any and all circumstances in the middle of kid assemblies, teacher conference. when it hits you, you can't let it slip away. So I'm basically going around the world humming into devices.
Your voice memos must be an interesting place to be. The song we heard in the introduction is called Inland Empire, which is in Southern California. So that's home for you, hometown for you. How did growing up there affect the song? Because other places are places you visited. That's your home base.
Yeah, places resonate to me in a very specific way. When you land places, there's the sights and there's the smells, and to me, places just resonate just as much as they kind of, just as much as I can land and see and visualize a place that I'm going or that where I am, I can also hear it in the silence. So places tend to have a certain resonance I've tried to capture in this record.
What was it you were trying to capture about Inland Empire?
Well, I'm not sure what it is. I just know that it is.
Oh, interesting.
And hopefully the music is the emotion that I want to catch.
The music is the emotion you want. Does your own personal mood or where you are in your life intersect with that?
It must, right? Because it's through my filter. So it's one part where I am, what I'm feeling, and where I am, what I'm seeing, and what I'm feeling in that moment. And then another part, whatever the mystery of sound ends up sounding like once it comes through your instrument.
So in theory, you could go back to Istanbul in 10 years and write a different version of that song because you might be in a different place.
God, quite probably.
I like the idea of all those remixes. My guest is Ben Harper. The name of the new album is Winter Is for Lovers. So after this interview is over, everybody, I want you to go look at the videos that are for these songs because you can find them online. And they're in a space called the Folk Music Center in Claremont, California, which your grandparents opened in the 1950s. What were your grandparents like?
My grandparents were wonderful. They were cut from a very specific cloth. They were incredible people. Miss them a lot.
And what
you
was like?
Allison, you'd have loved them.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, they raised me on NPR.
There you go. And what were their names?
Dorothy and Charles Chase.
Okay, so Dorothy
and
Charles.
And they were East Coasters.
Dorothy and Charles Chase, East Coasters, opening this Folk Music Center in Claremont, California. Can you describe what it looks like in there?
Yeah, it looks, in my family's music store, it looks like the Metropolitan Art Museum had a child with Rudy's Guitar Shop.
That's a very specific, Rudy's specifically.
Well, yeah. It had to be Rudy's.
So when you were a kid, when did you realize, well, not everybody's grandparents run a music center / museum of the stringed instrument?
It hit home culturally, because when I was young, I was raised with a specific sound and style of music. And then in my early teens, I branched off into what was the defining sound of my youth, which was hip hop. Mm-hmm. So that was, all things hip hop, graffiti, breakdancing. I mean, it's the early 80s. And whenever I would bring my crew into the area of my life that was based in and around folk and blues and soul and rock, there would be kind of an internal culture clash, if you will, because we'd go from hoop playing basketball on the street and just hanging out, and they would then we'd come into that music store and they'd be like, yo dude, like what what's up, like you got to tell us what's going on, like so that's when it hit home that this is some, because up till then you just think every kid growing up in a music store museum.
My guess is Ben Harper. So what is something that you think now in your career, in your performing or your songwriting, that you can trace directly back to having grown up and been exposed to music growing up in that music store?
Come again. Ask me that again.
Is there something in your writing or your performing that I can trace that directly back to my experience as a child, my experience of being exposed to music at the Folk Music Center?
Yeah, there was a moment where I had to, I didn't know it at the time, but even around the age 10, 11, 12, it hit me that I'm either going to have to choose something else to be very interested in, or this is going to dog you for the rest of your life.
Hmm.
Like I either had to start getting into science or philosophy or something else, or I had to just settle into the fact that I could not get out from under the sound of the steel guitar. That was the sound that pulled me in young, and I knew it, and I knew it in a deep way. And there was a moment where I just had to surrender to it. Okay, that's your sound. Go.
How were you first introduced to the lap steel guitar, which is what we hear on this album, Winter Is for Lovers?
My mom and my grandparents' record collection. I was fortunate they had a deep love for blues and Hawaiian music, and it was on the record player constantly.
Blues and Hawaiian. That's interesting.
Yeah, and my parents were also big fans of Chris Darrow, David Lindley, Ry Cooter. And these were all masters of the lap steel guitar. And so it just, I heard it enough to where I felt it was something special at a young age. And it was, I don't know if it's like this for other art forms, if they see colors young, but I once that sound planted a seed, it was hard to not hear it on a daily basis.
Is it an instrument that did it come to you very naturally, or is this the kind of instrument? I mean, I play guitar, and I think, oh gosh, yeah. I wonder, is it more difficult? Is it easier? Is it more intuitive? Lap steel.
To me, it mirrors it. The way I had always heard it, it sounded. It seemed to reflect the human voice, like a lot of instruments don't. Mm-hmm. The lap steel guitar, which could have possibly been part of the pull towards it. I'm not sure.
My guest is Ben Harper. The name of his new album, coming out on Friday, is Winter.
Allison, I love it when I answer questions and then I say, I'm not sure.
Well, you know, sometimes you're not sure.
It's so defeated, isn't it? Yeah, and this is the way it is, but I'm not sure.
Sometimes we're just not sure. That's okay.
All right.
Sometimes I don't always trust people who have definite answers for everything. Why? You know, there's no room for growth if you know everything all the time. Let's talk about, you know, you paid a visit to our colleagues over at Soundcheck, and you said something that puts your work in context. You told John Schaefer that this album was originally intended to include a whole symphony, and you recorded some tracks with pianist Robert Glasper, who's part of the Dinner Party group. We've had Kamasi and Terrence Martin on the show. After getting that far in the
incredible, by the way, everyone go out and buy three copies of that.
That is an incredible record. After getting that far in the process, though, when did you and why did you decide to strip back?
Because it became more about the production than it did about the steel guitar. That said, the movements with Robert on them are well preserved and will be coming out as B-sides real soon.
I want to play a song that hasn't been officially released yet, but you recorded a version for our friends over at Soundcheck. It's Joshua Tree, a place you used to visit as a kid. Yeah. What did Joshua Tree mean to you at the time?
Joshua Tree meant to me that the area that I was raised was very unique and specifically special in a way that the rest of Los Angeles wasn't.
In what way?
It was something, because once you hit the 909 and everywhere east, it's your, in a way, country folk. I mean, mind you, there's the Claremont Colleges, and there's, you know, there what used to be Kaiser Steel, and there's University of Redlands, and it's not that. I don't want to overstate that point or be unfair to my region, but there's a separation between the 909 and the Inland Empire and the rest of LA, and Joshua Tree is the jewel of that.
Let's take a listen to the track Joshua Tree from Ben Harper's album, Winter is for Lovers. Oh, Oh, I can really hear the comparison to a voice on that track. That's Joshua
right on.
Tree. Yeah, you can really hear it. You know, it's beautiful and it's sparse. How do you know when a song needs more work or you can just leave it be?
That's the ultimate challenge for every songwriter and artist in general. You just have to, you know, it's, you know, like Arthur Miller said it best, you know, plays are never finished, they're abandoned. And I kind of live in that.
The name of the album is Winter is for Lovers, and it was inspired some time you spent in New York City when you were reading David Foster Wallace's 1,079-page book, Infinite Jest. So what was it about the book that inspired your writing and the title?
I'm curious what that's the page count, but I wonder what the page count would with the footnotes. Or does that include the footnote count at the end? Anyway, neither here nor there. Researching that book while making this record made it clear that I didn't know, I had to find out how the book was being written while I was reading it. It was that powerful to me. And while I was reading it, I was working on this record, and I did a deep dive and found out that Infinite Jest was a series of short stories that he was writing at the same time, and realized that he was working on one larger book. And it hit me that that's what I was attempting to do myself with this record.
And you know, the genius thing, Ben, is there is somebody out there right now listening in public radio who knows the answer to that question about the footnotes. And I'm sure they'll let us know.
Right on.
Did any of these songs have lyrics ever?
Never.
They were always just instrumental.
Always instrumental. And I always knew they would be. I never even made an attempt to put words to them. Because I'd always wanted to make this record. I'd always wanted to make an instrumental record. Had always been aiming towards it. But was never all the way sure how I was going to compile it. Like I said, the Infinite Jest understanding of how that came together set the course for this record's completion in a big way.
Let's get to another track from Winter is for Lovers from Ben Harper. Let's play the song Paris. An afternoon just, you know, kicking down the streets of the Île Saint-Louis. It's just lovely, lovely little trip we just took over to Paris.
I'm glad you catch it, you know. That's it.
Before I let you go, I do want to let people know that you announced you're auctioning off a signed deluxe edition of the album with proceeds going to the Red Cross in Lebanon, which is another track on this album. Why did you make that choice?
Because as you mentioned, there's the track Lebanon, which was written on a trip to Lebanon. We played there a couple of years ago, and I have dear friends, like family friends, who live in Beirut, and it just seemed like there was no two ways about it. It's just so easy to do nothing, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, no good deed goes unpunished, but even if it's just a drop in the ocean, I always err on the side of doing something about a problem is better than doing nothing about it. So went ahead and we did a limited signed and numbered run of 2,000 vinyl records, and we're auctioning off the number one, as you said, for Lebanon Red Cross.
Let's go to, you've been kind enough to send us along a performance based on London. I'm trying to make sure I get my city straight. London. That's a lot on the record. What do we need to listen for as we listen to London?
I mean, London was, I mean, it's, I don't know. It's, I don't want to say what to listen for, but if you haven't been to London, hopefully if you like listen to it, it might spark you looking up London. And if you have been to London, I think you might hear what I'm talking about. It's, you know,
it's London.
I don't know. It's across between, it's going across. It's sailing under the, what's the bridge? The bridge.
The Tower Bridge, London Bridge.
It's
down the Thames. Bridge.
It's going down the Thames. It's fish and chips. It's all of it.
All right, get your tea ready. This is called London. It's a performance, an exclusive performance sent along for us from Ben Harper. His new album, Winter Is for Lovers, is out this Friday. Ben, thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me, especially during the fun drive.
This is London.
WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at zbiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's zbiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.